working now. Apparently it's working now.
Mary, can you grab the flag? Mary, or Dan, can you grab the flag? Well, hello, everyone. There's more with us than there are with them, so hallelujah. We are just full today.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, for all those that are actually come online. And just bless you guys today as you enter in and worship the King. It's all about Him. It's not about any of us. It's all about Him. So just worship the Lord. But we're gonna sing our, I thank the Lord that our anthem is literally a prayer for our nation, because our nation sure needs it. I just thank the Lord.
Oh,
Spirit and in power.
Amen.
what's happening in the world. The earth is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And we have to stand up and decree it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His word is mighty to change the whole nature of the earth. Hallelujah.
Cherry.
Serving other gods, I'll tell you, there is no other God that would die for you. There's no one like Him who was God and is God. And He chose to die horribly for us. Hallelujah.
Shadows in the light of you. the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
I love your voice. For you have led me through the fire. And in the darkest night, you are close like no other.
Goodness of God, where would we be without Him? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, welcome everyone. We're sure missing a lot of our key players today. There's just some miserable colds and coughs and things going around. Marilla said that her and Tanya both are down with it. Pastor Mel's got a sore back, and some of the guys, their wives aren't here because they're home. So just be praying for everybody in that area, you know. For those online, welcome. Good to have you here, and we just trust that you're blessed. It's marvelous March that we're in, and I tell you, we've got lots going on. But just wait for April. It's going to be major. Anyway, we're going to have our, next Sunday, we're going to have our annual general meeting after the church service. We're going to have lunch and then have the meeting. So you're welcome to stay for that. And then the following Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and that's always a blessing. In April, on the 10th, it's a Wednesday night at 6:30, we're going to have a gal from Margo, Saskatchewan, a little singing evangelist. Anita Pierce is going to be here. And hopefully, if things work out, she'll also do an outreach the next day in Chase. So if we get the building, she's going to do that for some folks over there. On the 20th of April and the 21st, we're going to be celebrating our 30th anniversary. The church started in January of 1994. And so it's 30 years that we've been meeting here on Trans-Canada Highway and sharing the love of Jesus. We're going to have a time of celebration. We've got some special guests coming. Brent and Robbie King are coming from Grand Prairie. And we've got Apostle and Pastor Dolores and Sherelle Kendrick coming from Seattle. So it's going to be an awesome time. And it's not going to wear you out because we're not going to go around the clock. We're going to have just several meetings, one for the ladies, one for the men, and some joint ones. So it'll be good. So with that in mind, we're asking that you would be praying and maybe even fasting. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what you're able to do physically. Some people can fast, you know, 5, 6, 10 days, 14, 40, I don't know. But do what you feel led to do. And if you're able to give up a meal, push the plate away for a few meals and be praying for the celebration. We're expecting a real blessing from the Lord. And I know He's got gifts for every one of us, so we don't want anyone to miss out. So that's coming up in April the 20th and 21st. That's a Saturday and a Sunday that we're going to be doing that. And so I think that's all I've got in announcements. I don't think there's any birthdays. Oh, Teresa has something. You have to come up here to the microphone, dear. I'm sorry. People online can't hear from the back.
Hi. I just wanted to say that next Sunday, the lunch is provided for us. So come, bring your friends, whoever, right? And then you guys can stay for the AGM. They have to go home, but you can stay for the AGM, okay? But anyways, no, it's all provided for. So come and partake, okay? Everybody, don't bring anything. Just bring yourselves, okay?
Thank you. Oh, and does anyone have a testimony? Oh, Teresa does.
First. Sorry, Jan, I'm here first. You know, when we ask God for something, right? I know you guys are all expecting it when you ask God for something. Well, I asked God for a new King James Bible. Well, I've already got one. And so then someone, and I don't know who, handed me this one. Was it you, Michelle? No one's telling. Anyways, they handed me this one. But I already have one. So God has blessed me with one. So if anyone needs a new King James Bible, this one is beautiful too. And this one, my other one's blue. And it's got large print. And this one is a new King James Bible, which is black leather bound. So if anyone needs one, I would love to pass it on. If the person who gave it to me wants it back, that's you come see me too. Okay, thank you so much. But I wanted to say how good God has been this week. In the midst of all this stuff, I thought, no, you know what? You're not winning, devil. You're not winning. And you know what? You have to sometimes be tenacious. I literally took the Bible out one day, and I just, in the morning, and I literally took it, and I put it on the floor, and I stood on it, and I said, God, this is your word. This is what your word says. Your word says that I'm healed, healthy, and whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Because He went to the cross, and He paid the price for everything. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Standing on the word. Jan?
Well, I have to stand and testify that I'm healed. Now, I couldn't hardly sing or talk this morning. And I have been standing on the word because I'm not giving him any ground. Either God's word is true or it's not. And I know that it's true. And I think there is a time where people have got to start getting bold and come up and testify, even though they might be walking with a limp. They testify and be bold in it because God is our healer. He has already paid the price. Every ounce that Jesus paid on that cross, the suffering that he did, I'm not going to let it go in vain in my life. Every ounce of pain. And we have to have a tenacity to stand and testify in the midst of somebody like Mary had, you know, was telling a testimony that every year there was this big conference and this woman came up and testified. She got prayed for once. She testified year after year with a big goiter on her side claiming that she was healed. And in front of them all, it disappeared. But people were getting mad at her because, you know, we can see that you're not healed. Well, God's word is true. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. You take a stand and you will see it. Because I'll tell you, I was so attacked by this cold garbage and I don't receive it. I refuse to receive it. And I'm standing on the word of God and I could sing during practice and during the worship with no problem. And I'm telling you, you have to be bold. You have to labor to enter into his rest.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're getting the message.
Somehow it burns on my heart and I need to share that. It's not really a testimony, but I'm so thankful to God for my family. You know, I was last week with my sons. We are working on one site and finishing job. It's a big project. And every morning, every night when I go to bed, I'm listening for music and stuff like that. And there was a song, if I remember the words, sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes it takes a troubled water, and sometimes it takes a desert till you get hold of me. And it was playing all the time. And I was just, something was going to whatever God wanted to reach me. And then during the week, we expected one delivery, and everything we scheduled and everything was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, the guy called and said, I'm not able to operate the Zoom Boom, the lift. And Fabian, my son, said, like, it's not a problem. I can operate that. So he was driving. Pascal was just, there was a traffic and everything holding, and nobody would be heard it, whatever. And I was just watching. I said, like, that's my family. That is my kids. And then every morning we woke up, and my wife, she always prepares food for us. So for breakfast, for lunch. And we are eating, so we don't have to go to McDonald's and whatever. So we eat fast food. And it was something was happening in me. And I said, God, I thank you for my family.
Amen. And amen. Oh, amen. I know. I'm so thankful for my family, too. Mary, would you like to come?
Andreas, you bless me, but the Lord showed me one day you are a man of great faith. You have great faith. Because you see, most people, what he showed me, we were praying for your family on a Friday morning, and he said, most people can't trust me with 2 and 3 children. They think, oh no, we can't have more than 3 children. We can't have, you know, we're getting too much, you know, they're too expensive. And God says, but you are a man of faith. because you want each one of your children to be blessed and to prosper. And you are so out in the water with 12 kids that you know that it's got to be God. You know it's got to be God. So God says, you're a man of great faith. And he's well pleased. Anyways, I thank God because on Friday, you know, you got to know who's next to you. That's, you don't want somebody wimpy next to you. I want warriors next to me because when I'm going through it, you need somebody that is defiant against the work of the enemy in your life. And I thank God for the ones that God has placed around me. And when I came to prayer Friday morning, not sure because I'd been sick, not sure if I should or not, the Lord just basically told me to go. He put it on my heart to go. So I said, okay. So I said to Maxine, well, I'll just pray quietly. You know, I don't want to stir anything up. And I said, well, maybe we should have it in the sanctuary just so we don't have to sit next to each other, you know. I'm thinking like this. So anyways, by the time I got here, they were in the sanctuary. And Jan comes running up to me and just gives me this big hug. And I thought, thank God for somebody who's not afraid of nothing. And anyways, the anointing of God fell, and I ended up on the floor for I don't know how long. But God ministered to me. He ministered health to me. And I needed to. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So don't ever feel that, you know, I don't want to come to church or, you know, I know there's wisdom in it. I mean, but still, if God's saying to go, go, because you don't know. I didn't know that morning, Friday morning, what would meet me. But the anointing of God met me that morning as I stepped into the house of God. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, whatever it is. Whether you're discouraged or it doesn't have to be sickness. You could be discouraged at home thinking I don't feel like going. It's the anointing that will break the yoke. And we're a body. And when one thing is weak, you need another hand to help you lift that hand up. You know, that's how a body works. And that's what we are as the body of Christ. And we are live, living stones. Amen. Anyways, I'm to take the offering this morning, which is, I'm going to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 41. Oh, no, sorry. Luke 12, verse 13. And Jesus was talking about greed here. It says Jesus condemns greed. And it says here, just then somebody spoke up from the crowds and said, Master, you should compel my older brother to divide the family inheritance and give me my fair share. Like, I'm thinking, like, this is real. Like, somebody actually said that to Jesus. Jesus answered, my friend, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Speaking to the people, Jesus continued, be alert and guard your heart from greed and from always wishing for what you don't have. For your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess. Jesus then gave them this illustration. A wealthy landowner had a farm that produced bumper crops. Every year the harvest was so great it filled its barns to overflowing. He thought, what should I do now that every barn is full and I have nowhere else to store more? I know what I will do. I will tear down the barns and build one massive barn to hold all my grain and goods. Then I can just sit back, surrounded with comfort and ease, and I'll enjoy life with no worries at all. God said to him, what a fool you are to trust in your riches and not in me. This very night, the messengers of death will demand to take your life. Then who will get all the wealth you have stored up for yourself? The same thing will happen to all those who fill up their lives with everything but God. So, you know, God helps us to, he put principles in the Word of God to help us to know how to stay away from greed, because, you know, money can do so much for us, and we can get so caught up in it. And what God wants is our hearts, because giving comes from the heart. And so he says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. So when we follow the principles in the Word of God concerning giving, because he said, give and it shall be given to you, or seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. So he's saying, I don't want you to seek first money. He said, I want you to seek first my kingdom. Because when we seek first his kingdom, he said, then money will chase you. You know, prosperity will chase you. So it's the principles that we got to get right, and it's in our hearts that we got to get these principles right. So, amen. So thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, this morning that God, your word never returns void. I thank you, God, for your word that does have some guidelines that we can follow, and that, God, we can learn from you. Because, Lord, you steer us. You put us on the right path. You said you lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And, Lord, we want to bring you glory. We want to bring you honor. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these principles. You are a good, good Father. And I thank you, God, even that it says that those that God loves, he disciplines. And so, God, I know that sometimes we need discipline in our lives, but just because you love us, Lord, it's not out of anger. You want us to, Father, prosper in life. So I thank you, God, for true prosperity for your people in this hour, that, God, we would be free from anything, God, that would hinder, anything that would ensnare us. Father, in Jesus' name. So bless your people. Bless as they give this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing, testing. Have we got power? Praise the Lord. Father, I come into your presence. I worship you. I thank you for the privilege again to share your word. And Lord, I yield myself, not 99%, 100% to you to do your will. Nothing more, nothing less. I submit myself to you. And Father, I thank you that we, the church, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say in this day, in Jesus' name. I'm going to deviate a little bit from my sermon this morning. This morning I had an experience. I was awoken at 2:36 a.m. I went into the front room. And I won't say like John, the beloved, that I was caught up in the Spirit, but I'll tell you, I was in the Spirit almost instantly. And the presence of God was so tangible. I won't get into the details because they're not important. And the Lord started talking to me and started sharing with me. And it brought tears to my eyes as he shared what he's doing now. And I almost couldn't take it. But Lord, I wish you had shared that with me. It's too much. But I'm speaking on the love of God, and it was about his love. So I feel he wants me to share a little bit of that, and I could prophesy, but I won't. I'll just regurgitate what he's already said to me this morning. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:8 and 9. Because this is the scripture that came to me. I know how Paul feels. He said, or I'm weak, as my legs under me, even standing here, are weak. My heart is pounding, let me tell you. Now, I want to read the scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know those things freely given to us of God. Okay. Now it talks about in verse 9, what God has prepared for those that love him. Okay, then the Lord reminded me of Ephesians 3, where it said that they would know the height, the width, the depth, and breadth of the love of God that passes understanding. And then the Lord started sharing with me. He said, you are in the end of the end. You are in the final days. When Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection happened, they stepped into the end times, but we are in the end of that end. And then the Lord said, this time I have prepared from the beginning of time. This isn't a coincidence. The day you're living in, I've already prepared it before the worlds were created. This day. And I thought, wow. And he said, like, it was special to God. And I'll tell you, church, we're alive this day. Know that. And that's what the Lord wanted me to let you know. You're the ones, the prophets of old would be thrilled to be in this day. Now, the Lord said to me this way. He said, when Jesus walked the earth, the disciples said unto him, well, we thought the spirit of Elijah was supposed to come. And Jesus said, if you'd understood anything, the spirit of Elijah did come. It was John the Baptist. And the symbolism, he turned the hearts of the father to the children. But then the Lord said something to me. I could barely share it with my wife. But he said, in your day, you're going to walk in the same spirit and anointing as Jesus. You're going to walk in the manifested love of the Son of God. As Jesus was in the world, so are you going to be. He said, that's the day you're in. The Lord said, you understand what I'm telling you? I'm going to pour out of my spirit before my Jesus returns, and you're going to walk just like him. And he said, you will see multitudes saved. Then he said, you will see multitudes healed instantaneously. Because he said, as Jesus was, I'm going to pour this anointing out this time. I've been waiting before his return to show the manifest sons that walk in the glory of God. And you can turn to that. That's in when Jesus is transfigured there about in Matthew 16 or something. I'm sorry I'm a little wobbly, but you know? Because see, he brought many sons into glory, and he's showing us, and that this last move of God, I'm telling you what it's going to be. It's going to be love. It's going to be love. It's going to be the manifestation of the love of God that's going to pass our peanut brains. We won't even know. We won't even understand. It'll be greater than us. But Jesus walked in that compassion and love. And matter of fact, then I heard the Lord saying, he said, it's not going to happen. It's already happening. He said, it's already begun. It's not coming. It's already here. And you'll see over in the Middle East where Jesus is appearing to hundreds. He said, it started all, it's already started. And he said, I'm causing those that want to enter in. And the Lord warned me, he said, walk in love. Bless, help people, don't hurt them. Always walk in love. Because he said, that's the key. Stay in love. The enemy will do everything to get you out of that love walk. But he said, if you walk in that love walk, I will manifest. Because that's who God's looking for right now. We have that opportunity, folks. I mean, I would say one greater than Elijah's here, the spirit of Elijah. My Lord, we're going to walk in the manifest presence of the Spirit of God himself. Well, anyhow, the Lord woke me up with that, and you think I could sleep after that? Anyhow, that was just a little something I believe the Lord wanted me to share with the church to encourage you. And, you know, the saints of old would would roll over in their grave if they knew that, the day we're in. And it's not because of us. We're just in that timetable of the Lord. But you know, God put you there. God's put you here for that purpose. So He knew that. He knew that. Anyhow, let's get on to the sermon. Praise God. And if I fall over, just pray for me and praise God. Or I'll just keep laying down and speaking. Hallelujah. Okay, now what we were for the ones missed that were not here, Jesus was baptized by John. Jesus was, we'll start at John 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, He went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and the Spirit of God descending upon Him like a dove lighting upon Him. Now that's where we went through all those verses, or all those words, very methodically. So if you missed it, there's lots there. There's a whole sermon there just in those words if you look them up and understand them. But we're going to continue with this phrase. In verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. We're going to camp right there. You could do a whole service on that word, beloved. Okay, I'm sorry. Matthew 3, verse 17. Well, how did John get up there? Oh, okay. Well, forgive me. That's a good scripture too, praise God. No, sorry. Matthew 3, verse 17. Voice from heaven saying, and I'd expounded upon that word heaven. I haven't got it here in my notes. But that word heaven there wasn't just heaven. It was actually the majesty or the divine presence of God. So the heavens were opened. In other words, the divine presence of God was now made available to Jesus. That's what that word in Greek meant, the heavens. It wasn't just, oh, the sky is open. It meant the very divine. Matter of fact, in the Greek it said the essence of God was opened. That's a pretty powerful word. What's the essence of God? I the characteristics, I don't know. But it was the essence of God. Okay, now we're going to start there. Now that word beloved is comprised of two words. In the Greek, it's 27. In the concordance, it's agape, and we all know agape, right? Agape is God's kind of love, but then it's agapetos. And I looked up the word tos in Greek because it was added onto agape, and that's what beloved is. And I'm no Greek scholar, but tos or tos in the Greek meant the outcome or conclusion of something or an action of the will rather than a feeling. So when God called Jesus my beloved, agape, we're going to look up that word because it's powerful, but it was an action of the will where God concluded in His mind, I'm going to love because that's who I am. Now it was easy for God to love Jesus. We know that because that was God in the flesh. But what I want to show you today, and I'm going to prove to you by the scriptures, that example of Jesus, see that voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, is that's us. That's us. Because Jesus said, everything I do is to fulfill righteousness. I'm an example for the church. So that was spoken to us. Yes, it was spoken to Jesus, but we're in Jesus, that was spoken to us. And that's why we have to know this. When we start to see the love God has for us, it's pretty easy to step out in God. But we've never really been looked at the depths of this. And I'm just starting, and I mean, wow. Now, I wrote a little note here. Is it possible that God was talking about more than Jesus here? And yes, it was us. So we're going to look at some scriptures that use the same exact word, beloved. We're going to turn to Romans 1, verse 7. Jim, boy, you're quick on the draw today, Jim. So all that being Rome, now this is the same word, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, beloved and saints are almost identical. So when God calls His church the saints, He's calling them His beloved. Beloved called to be saints. See, when you're in the beloved, you're called to be a saint in the beloved. So that word beloved there is the exact same word that God used. This is my beloved son. But look at this. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. So I know I'm in that same beloved like Jesus, because I'm beloved of God. Because it's not that we're in Rome, but are we Christian? Because He was talking to the church. So all that are in the church, beloved of God, saints. Oh, and that word, holy, pure, righteous, unblameable. Oh, I like that one. Unblameable before me, saints. Glory to God. Okay. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 7. Ephesians 1, 3 to 7. Whoops, Darren, you're way off, way off. Okay. Getting closer. Okay. 14. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. Well, here it is again, in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that word there where it says that we should be holy in verse 4, the word be holy there is 40, which is the same number as a saint. So I always look at a saint, a sinner I ain't. Saint, a sinner I ain't. I always remember it that way. I'm a saint, I'm holy. God declared me holy. Well, look at those scriptures. God in Christ adopted us into the family so He could say, you're my beloved. Well, He knew all this when Jesus was going to the cross. He knew all this when Jesus was being baptized. This was always in the mind of God from the very beginning, to be in the beloved. But there's another scripture saying we've been adopted into the beloved. So God looks at us. It would be no different than I believe, I don't know exactly, but in Rome, when a son was adopted, he was so much a son that he had the same rights. As a matter of fact, you couldn't disown him in Rome. That's how the adoption was. So if Brother Andreas wanted to take another son in, he'd be part of the family, literally. He would be part of the whole family. He'd get an inheritance, the whole nine yards, because he's in and he ain't getting out. You couldn't, you know? See, so that's wonderful. During those were the laws during that day when they were talking in the New Testament. You've been adopted as sons into the beloved, holy, acceptable to God. Okay, well, let's go on. Let's see if two scriptures aren't enough, let's go a little further. So I've got here 1 John 4, verse 7 to 19. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 19. Oh, here it is right away. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that's born of God, for everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, church, if we get that scripture right there. Everyone that's born of God and loveth knoweth God. And we've got to get this, because this is the ones where God's going to manifest His presence through. When these are the ones that not just love, but they love their brothers and sisters in the Lord for sure. And even the world they love. Okay? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, I'm not saying you're not saved. Verse 8 there. But you see, you won't experience God when you're not walking in the love walk. Because when you, he that loveth not, he don't understand how God operates. And you know, it's not easy. Oh, I've determined to do it. And I'll tell you a secret. The devil comes immediately to steal the word. Man, people get ugly real quick. Like even my son was riled up. I said, I'm walking the love walk. God said, I'm holy, therefore I'm holy. And oh, he blew up. Who do you think you are? You can't. You know what? I just started laughing, quietly walked out of the room. Thought, well, praise God, bless him, I love him. I'm still holy because God, you said I'm holy. It's got nothing to do with me. And you know, instead of responding, it's like I was sharing with Brother Dave. We all have a copy of the Issue magazine. We all have issues. And I heard the Lord say, cancel your copy of the Issue magazine. Drop your issues. You know, it comes free of charge up front, but the wages of sin is death. See, it's a free subscription, but really you're paying for it. Well, you know, it's funny because I thought, I'm the father. Who does that kid, you know? Right away, he says, devil's stealing that love walk. So I just started worshiping God, went for a walk. I come home, I didn't even get in the yard, and my son comes running up. You know, Dad, I shouldn't have said that. I'm really sorry. First time he's ever done that. I mean, he's a full-grown man, and it was hard for him to do that. But I wasn't going to enter in with the latest copy of the Issues magazine. I was done with it. I said, I burned my copy. And it's kind of funny because my wife and I, we don't talk about too much. I says, Kimberly, sorry, I canceled that copy of the Issue magazine. Can't talk about that. So she's coming around pretty quick. So we're talking about Jesus and the Bible, you know, because we lost our copies. And I tell you, this is the kind of people God's looking for. And not only that, you'll get free. You'll get free. Because all you'll do is start loving people and walking in the love of God. And all of a sudden these things, like I said, burn the Issue magazine. It isn't free. There's a price. There's a back end price. I don't know how I got there. 1 John 4, praise God. So he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only approved Son into the world that we might live through him. See, there we are in him again, in the beloved. We might live through him. So we're going through Jesus, so that's in him again. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be a down payment, a propitiation, to take for our sins. You know, oh, I'm so thankful. You know, when I pray, I say, God, I think of King David. He said, what is man that you even consider me? You took a little bit of dust and made it, what, you know? Oh, I'm so thankful that God instigated his love towards me. Wouldn't life be horrible without that? And you know, I'm happy now to accept that love. I ain't trying to be religious. I ain't trying to be phony. God, you want to lay your love on me? Here I am, brother. Lay it on me. I'll take it all. Because his love brings peace, joy, just blessing. Just blessing. Now watch. Beloved, if God so loved us, it's our responsibility. We ought to love one another. Isn't that what it says there? We ought to love one another. See, God is stressing this to us. Matter of fact, I was reading that scripture. Remember the parable when the guy that owed much couldn't pay and they brought him to the judge? And I did, you know, I had to do the math because I'm a word guy. And the amount of money in their day that he owed, I calculated in about 2020, came to $3.48 billion. So can you imagine you go to someone and say, I owe you $3.48 billion. And the guy looks at you and says, well, you're going to have to pay for that. You and your family, your kids will be locked away till you pay for it. First question, how do you pay for it? You don't. Other words, what he's saying is you're condemned to death for good. You can't pay it. And that's the moral of the story. Jesus bought our salvation. We couldn't do it. And you know, here's the part that gets me, though, and the church kind of misses this sometimes. Then he went and found his fellow servant, that old pennies, and said, you pay me, I'm going to lock you away till you pay me every last penny. Literally, pennies, shekels. And you know, 30 minutes wages. And what, you know, when the other servants saw it, what did they say? They went to the king and said, whoa, dude, you know that guy you forgave all that to? He didn't forgive. And then the scripture talks about we have to be so careful, because when we see the Issues magazine does this, you see what that person did, but God's Truth magazine here, and I subscribe to this one now, the Truth magazine, shows what God did for me, and all of a sudden the issue disappears. You see? Because I think, I don't care about that issue anymore. It's pennies. It's, look, God, you did so much for me. Who cares what that guy's doing? And you see, that's where it keeps us drawn into that love, and it gives us the love for those others, as you think, oh, Lord, you know, they just haven't experienced your love yet. You know, they're too busy with the issue. You know, like the woman with the issue of blood, 18 years. And you know, it's funny, because I heard the Lord say to me, because I love that analogy, and she spent all that she had, only got worse. So that's the problem with the Issue magazine. You will have nothing left. And the Lord still accepted her, bless God, and He set her free. Okay. Where were we? Verse 11? Where are we, Jim? Okay, 12. No man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected or completed in us. Well, you know, we're always talking in the church, oh, I want to be complete in Him. I'll go hug somebody in church. So the devil always comes to make it seem hard. Oh, you could feel hard to be complete in God. Well, what's that scripture say? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected or made complete in us. Well, you want to be complete in God? Start loving your brethren. You know, love your family a little more. You know, I mean, you know, that's how it works. Love. Go, break that barrier where, like for me as a dad, you know, like for me to say to my boys, oh, I love you, son. Oh, I can't do that. I was the rough, tough guy. My dad never cried. You could kick him in the head and he just wouldn't cry, and I wouldn't cry because that's how I am. Well, you ain't going to make me cry. No one hurts me, you know. And yet, this love, and I think Satan probably does that, especially with men. Oh, you're not going to show. You're going to, you know, if we let this love flow, that's where all the healing, the deliverance, the salvation, all the blessing of God flows out of that love. And it can be a tough love. Don't tell me Jesus wasn't tough. He endured that cross. And they even tried to give Him that little bit of vinegar on the sponge and said, this will help you die quicker. The second He tasted it, He spit it out and said, no, I'm not cheapening what I'm doing for my God. That's what love does. That's a powerful force. It's a powerful force. Hereby know that we, verse 13, hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. For God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, oh, glory to God, so are we in the world. If we get verse 17, Now, what's I shouldn't be expounding on these because I just want to show about the beloved, but they're just too beautiful. We're going to have boldness in the day of judgment because as Jesus is, so are we in the world. Now, can you imagine Jesus? Now, let's just imagine this. Let's just play this scripture out. I'm Jesus, and I come before the Father in the day of judgment. Oh, I'm so guilty. Oh, I'm a sinner, Lord. Oh, that's ludicrous. Jesus would never do that. He'd come in and say, Father, what are we doing today? I'm free. I took judgment for everybody. I'm free. Well, look at what the scripture says. We have boldness in the day of judgment because He is. Well, what does that mean? We got to understand what that means. Well, I'll tell you what it means. We're in Christ. So as He is, so are we. And it even gets better in this world. So we're not waiting till we get over to heaven. We're there now. So why should we have fear when we stand before God in the day of judgment? Because we don't know who we are in Christ. That's the only reason. The deceivers come and say, yeah, but that was... No, when Jesus died, Paul said, I died. When Jesus rose again, Paul said, I rose again. See, when we get a hold of that, see, the world is going to be fear and trembling when they stand before God. But when I stand before God, I'm like my... I think of my little girl's dog, little Maple. She comes to my door every morning, Christy, on her walk, and Maple's just a wagging her tail, and her tongue's going, because I got a treat with a heart shape every morning. And she didn't have no fear of me. She just opens that door and jumps up and says, where's my treat? Where's my treat? I'm home. Lay that treat on me, baby. And that's how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to fear God. We're in the beloved. He's pouring He wants to pour His love out on us. You know? Okay, where are we? I said, Lord, forgive me. Well, there's no torment. He that feareth is... Okay, so was that verse 17? We're going to have to read the next one. There is now no fear in love, but complete love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made complete in love. And then it goes on to say, we love Him because He first loved us. I mean, those are powerful words. There's no fear in love. We don't have to fear God because we're in Him. And see, that's what I'm saying. When God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, we're there too. And so many times Satan says, we know that was Jesus. But you filthy sinner, you've only been saved a week. Well, when you're in, you're in. A week, 10 years. You're in. We're beloved. Okay. So those scriptures were to show us that we're in the same love. Because if you got it in your brain that's just Jesus, then you will have fear when you stand before God in the day of judgment. Because you won't have that perfected love, because it's only in Christ. Only place you're going to get it. Now, I went further. I had to expound more upon this word. So I tried to just look up everything. So in the Greek, beloved also meant dear, D-E-A-R. Well, you know, I rely on the Oxford Dictionary or the Cambridge or who's the other one there? There's two or three. Webster's. So I looked them up. Now, this is what dear means. So agapetos is another word is dear. It means highly valued. Oh, I'm highly valued of God. Most of us figure we're a worm. Or not. Now, I'm not saying everybody here, forgive me. You know, I don't want you crawling out of here. But you know, a lot of religious people, you know, they love their guilt. Their shame. You know, the Bible says in the end days it's going to show Satan as the worm that he was that deceived the nations. It didn't. I never saw anywhere where the church talked about us being like that. So dear meant highly valued. Now, this is just dictionaries, but I tried to, you know, go through the dictionary and find the same one. Precious. Well, we know what precious is. Close. Now, this is another one for dear. Close to my heart. Wow. I like to think that, God, I'm close to your heart. Someone's messing with me, they're messing with you. I'm close to your heart. I don't have to defend myself. I'll just love that person. I'll let God cancel their issue magazine. I ain't getting in the middle of that one. You see? Okay. Now, here's another word for agapetos. Esteemed. Well, you know, we say esteemed. Well, what's that mean? Held in great respect. My. I'm in Christ. God looks down and says, that's my son. Bless God, I respect him. I mean, when you start thinking that's how God looks at us, it actually, like when I'm reading this, I start crying sometimes. And I'm not saying that because I don't cry. But it overwhelms me that the God that created the universe will look down and says, there's my Darren. I hold him in high respect. Like, that blows me away. I don't know about you. That's the God of the universe. I thought, man, I'm glad he respects this little bit of dust. Praise God. Okay, held in great respect. Admired. Esteem means you're admired. Can you imagine that again? God walking around. Oh, there's my brother Dave. Oh, he's sure looking good today. I mean, that's God, you know. That's something. That's something. Okay. Now, another word for that agapetos is favorite. A person who is especially loved, but all the different dictionaries says. So someone that's favorite means I really like them a lot. I like them a lot. That's a pretty big word. That's a pretty big word. Just like I remember when I was bragging a little bit to God because I believed him for a certain amount of wealth in my life and I got it. And then I heard the Lord say, you're ignorant. Knocked the wind out of my sails. I said, Lord, what do you mean I'm ignorant? He said, oh, I wanted to bless you so much, but you've missed me so many times, you're just ignorant. And he still blessed me, but he showed me that he... And when I look back in my life, blessing after blessing kept dropping on me, but I thought I was smart and I thought I was a hot shot, so I'd get a little too thin line and, you know, someone would want $125,000 for a house and I'd offer them $121,000 and then 4 months later the house would go to $250,000. The Lord said, you're cheap, Darren. Bless that person. Give them their full amount. I knew the market was going to double in 6 months. And I thought, Lord, forgive me. You know? Because you think, you know, that's what happens. That's how Satan fell, right? Pride. I can do this now. No. God, you're favorite of God. Remember that. Don't forget it. It cost you. I'm telling you, it cost me. Okay. Now, the other word for agapetos is worthy of love. You're worthy. And you know, isn't that interesting that God makes us worthy of his love? So he first cleanses us through Jesus, makes us brand new and holy and a saint. He said, now you're worthy for me to love you. I'm putting you in the same class as my son. Wow, wonderful. And worthy of love means deserving respect and an admiration. That's just the word agapetos. Now, I had to break this down further. Because I really heard the Lord say to me, Darren, because I'm going to manifest my love, people have to receive it before they can walk in it. So I want you to bring out every avenue so people can see it. And understand it. Where did financial blessing come from? Love of God. You know, love of God. You know? So agape, the part of that word is Greek 27. It goes from 27 agapetos to 25. Now, what my concordance said, I'll just read it. I wrote it down exactly as my concordance says it. Agape love. This is the God kind of love. To love indicates a direction of the will and finding joy, or finding one's joy in anything. Now watch. This is the God kind of love. It indicates a direction of God's will. And God said, I'm going to do it because I'm happy to do it. I'm going to find joy in loving. Like, what did the Bible say? We were loved, but we were still sinners. And I thought, God, you look down, look at all those miserable people. Look at them today that curse the Lord, that use the Lord's name in vain. And God said, I'm going to direct my will to love them anyhow, and I'm going to do it with joy. Now, I'll tell you my own life, if you want to get free quick, because, Darren's a little stiff-necked person. I'll try to love, but I said, Lord, I ain't doing it with joy. Oh, no. If I have to love that person, I will, but I ain't going to be happy about it. No way. And God said, you want to be like me, son? Do it with joy. I thought, Lord, I can't even respond yet to that. But I know that's the key. Because then you're loving like God. Then you're going to have the compassion of God. Then you're walking like Jesus. Look at, well, matter of fact, here's the scripture that comes to me. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. He saw the love of God and he said, Lord, I won't condemn any one of these people hanging me up on this cross. And I thought, my Lord, those religious leaders, there was the lawgiver on the cross and they're mocking him. And he said, for the joy set before me, I'm going to love them. Woo! That's power. That's power. Don't tell me about power. That is power. And so, you know, church, we got to do it with joy. And even if you don't feel joyful, just do it in faith. Well, Lord, I enjoyed that. And then go home and puke. But speak it out. I enjoyed it. Praise God. That's how you start. That's how you start. It's not easy. It's not easy. Okay. So finding one's joy in anything, this is what the word agape is. Love that expresses compassion. This is agape. So how do you express compassion? Well, we can go into Scripture. Jesus, being moved with compassion, healed all the sick. Jesus, being moved with compassion, fed 5,000. Wow, that's a pretty good love. That's a love that meets your needs. Love that expresses compassion. That's the God kind of love. That's the God kind of love. Now, the word compassion, because I have to just see it. I have to see everything so I understand. I said, well, Lord, love that expresses compassion. Well, really, what is compassion? So I looked it up. Go figure. Recognizing, now this is a dictionary definition, but it was about 5 dictionary definitions. Recognizing the suffering of others. Now, we're good at that in church. Praise God. I'm going to step on some toes today. Oh, Lord, I recognize the suffering of that brother. And then you stake his hand, let him go out of church without a coat on and 30 below and think, oh, well, it's his problem. But I recognize the problem. Well, I didn't do much for him. Now, watch what compassion does. This is what Jesus does. You know, I'm getting there. I've done both. Bless you, brother. Like, I remember once I was in McDonald's. And there was a little fellow there, and I was learning to hear from the Spirit of God, and he looked like a scary dude. Looked like he just came off the street, rolled up under a bus somewhere. And I heard the Spirit say, go sit next to that guy and talk to him. I thought, so I sat a table over. And then, of course, I kind of, you know, he kept thinking, well, what's wrong with me? I kept looking at him, waiting to interfere in his conversation. And then I did, and we got talking. And he had a disease. And he just got back from Calgary because they give him an experimental poison to cure this tumor that was killing him. I believe it was in his brain. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Well, we got talking, and he was a Christian. But because the church treated him so bad, he was bitter, hurt. And, you know, he was on the outside looking in. And I couldn't say much because, you know, they shortchanged the guy. They took a bunch of money from him somehow. And then I did I didn't have compassion, I had come. I left the passion out. I did the first part of the scripture, compassion. Okay? I recognized his suffering because he said to me, yeah, I'm going to hitchhike to Kelowna. So I shook his hand and said, oh, good, God bless you, have a nice trip. And then I went home. And then the Lord said to me again, you're a pathetic believer. And I said, well, Lord, I said, you have a good trip. He said, you got a truck? I said, yeah, but it's Sunday. I got to get to church. The Lord said, oh, but I want you to drive him to Kelowna and bless him. That's my church. I said, it is? He said, yeah, it is. Well, I thought, oh, Lord. And I'd happened to have walked to McDonald's. So I'm thinking, so here's me walking. I'm walking 2 miles as fast as my little chubby body can get there. Because I knew he was on the highway hitchhiking. So I got there. I got in my truck. I pulled out in the highway. There he is with his thumb out. And I pull over and I said, brother, get in. Where do you need to go? You said Kelowna. Yeah, but I got a friend in Vernon. You can take me to Vernon. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Vernon's better than Kelowna. So we're driving and we get to Kelowna. And I was nervous. He had a big trench coat on. And I mean, it's kind of summery, springy. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I hope he's not sporting a shotgun or something under that trench coat. And I'm going to really get it from the, you know. I didn't. You don't know, right? You don't know. Well, I get to Vernon, and I hear again the same voice that told me I was pathetic. It says, why don't you pray for him, and I'll heal him. Oh, never thought of that. Yeah, I guess God does heal. So I asked him, I said, so-and-so, could I pray for you? Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the second I went to lay hands on him, you could cut the anointing in my truck with a knife. And even he started weeping. We went to Disney World after that. The next day, we were going to Disney World. I promised my kids once in their life I'd take them to Disney World. And all week, you know what I talked about? That experience. That was the highlight. Oh, sorry. That was the highlight of my trip. Is the presence of God. Like, I don't know if he was healed or not, but I mean, there was such a tangible presence in that truck. I would have to say, I would be surprised if he wasn't healed. That's how powerful that was in the truck. And I thought, Lord, this is doing church. I got to go to McDonald's more often and listen to you. Well, we won't go down that road. We'll stop there. But see, now watch. Compassion. Recognizing the suffering of others. Now, a lot of times we're good at that part. But this is the other half. And then taking action to help or alleviate it. You see that? That's compassion. You recognize it, and then you do something to help alleviate it. And you know, church, we all have to work on that. I know I do. I know my dear brother Darlene's in the hospital. And I visited her once. But boy, I didn't want to. You know? I mean, I'm a guy. I don't want to go sit in the hospital half an hour and listen to an old lady yap at me. You know, that's the truth. But you know, we have to. Because that's the love of God. That's the love of God. And God will bless us if we do. So that's how, you know, to her, that's alleviating the suffering. Just someone to talk to spend time with her and encourage her in the Lord. You know? And I know we all can't go and, you know, we all have different lanes to be in. Or like when Len's handing out tracts. You know, Len, you don't realize how many people took a tract and you don't know the ones that were going to commit suicide that day. You don't know that, but God does. So just handing that tract out helps someone alleviate suffering by that tract. Because you don't see their heart. God does. But that's the real word for compassion. Okay. Now we're going to look up a couple of quick scriptures. Okay, I got to hurry here, but that's all right. I didn't want to miss the love part because I think it's key to everything else. I believe that. And I know guys, especially someone like me, and maybe God does that, you know. I remember as a young man, this fellow that I felt was really godly, he prophesied over me and he said, Darren, and I didn't want to hear it. I said, no, you got the wrong guy. He said, in the end of your life, people are going to sense the love and compassion of God. They're going to see God. But I thought, no, you got the wrong guy. I'm doing my best to be tough, just like my dad. But you know, God has so started to melt me that I can't explain it. But you know, God said, I'll pick from the pile that thinks they can't be something, and I'll make them something. Well, God's done that with me. And I thought, oh, praise God. You know, Lord, at one time I'd fight you. Now I'll just accept it. Because I know where you are. That's where I want to be. Because boy, what a blessing. What a blessing. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 14, verse 14. And according to my Bible, it says there's two kinds of compassion. So let's read this. Oh, yes. Yes. And when Jesus went forth, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Now watch the first thing he did. Wasn't blow his nose. Just for the record, people out there on the internet, that wasn't the first thing he did. Don't take me out of context. That's what people do. Watch. He was moved with compassion. See, that's where a lot of times we stop, but what did he do? He moved towards them, and what did he do? He healed the sick. So he alleviated the consequences of the problem. Praise God. But you're going to see something here. Most people don't see. Moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And then, if you go down a little bit, and I'm not going to get into this because it's two sermons in itself. This is where he feeds the 5,000. Well, when you actually rip this apart, you're going to see that this was the new covenant with Israel. This was in the land of Israel. Every number, including the 12 baskets full, the five loaves, the two fish, is salvation to a T. So Jesus was moved with compassion, but this is the greatness of God, and that's what I wanted to show you this. So he healed their physical sick. He could do that right then and there. But the symbolism of feeding the 5,000 was, Israel, you've just received salvation, a new covenant. So he did two things there in that compassion. He healed their physical bodies. He restored them spiritually to a new covenant. And like I said, that's it for another sermon. But that the feeding of the 5,000 was absolutely symbolism of the 12 tribes being born again into a new covenant. No question in my mind. But that's how good God is. See, he can do more than us. We can alleviate, you know, hunger and help people mow their lawns. But boy, if we would walk in the love of Jesus, it'd be nice to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, proclaim salvation. And there's a response where people said, I want that God. And now you've got someone for eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Now, the other word, that was the love. So there's one more word here. And this is the Hebrew word that when you look up in your concordance, this is how it works. You've got agapetos, 27. And it said it came from the word agape, 25. And then it also came from the word in Hebrew, was another root word that they brought this word from. So you get a little deeper understanding. And it's 5689. And it means to breathe after. Now, for reference, because I know there's always those guys that are going to look up every number, 5689. In the Old Testament, this particular word, 5689, for love, was always not good. It was like Jezebel loving her husband. It was for manipulation, for you were really doting over somebody for something. But see, that's still part of the word in the beloved, going out of your way to do something. This isn't your normal kind of love. This is a love, in other words, that's saying, I'm going to go out of my way and do this. And that's why they get the root from this word. And it means to breathe after. Well, you know the old expression, you're breathing hard after somebody. You know, that could be good or bad, but you're chasing them down one way or the other. Well, we know what Psalms 42:1 verse says. And I won't read it for lack of time. But it says, as the deer panteth for the water, my soul longs after you. That's why David was loved of God. David understood that. He said, I will breathe hard after you, God. Just like that deer that's been 3 days without water, and it's got one thing on its mind, that brook. See, that's to breathe after. David understood that. He said, as the deer panteth for the water, Lord, my desire is to follow you. That's how we have to be, church. And we really should be. When we really see the work of Jesus, it should be our second nature just to, you know, to do that. So to breathe after. And then it also meant lover. Now, like I said, this isn't necessarily in a good way. Lover is lover, you know. Good, bad, and ugly. You got lover. So it meant lover. But then it meant to dote over. Now, we've heard of that expression, to dote over. Kind of an old expression. So, you know, I thought, Lord, I better look that up because I don't want to, you know, I was kind of in that generation when I've heard that, but I didn't really know too much. But it meant to give a lot of love or attention to someone or something. So this word also ties into the word agapetos. You're going to follow hard after somebody. You're going to give a lot of love and attention to them. Okay? When you start to bring this whole word, my goodness. But then I know the Lord did remind me of one thing. And, you know, there's always a negative side to this kind of love. And we have to see this. And the Lord said, remind my people, I'm a jealous God. And he said, oh, I don't like it when my children that I love with all my heart go after other gods. I don't like it when they don't reciprocate my love because I love them so much I'll do anything for them. And I said, oh, Lord. Like, in my heart, he pricked me. I thought, Lord, you, man, all I want to do is serve you. And he didn't mean that in a bad way. But, boy, if you have to watch the football game over worshiping God, if that's your God, bad place. If you've made work your God, bad place. That's a bad place. But when you make Jesus Lord, boy, that love is only place that we need to be. And God's not unkind. He knows. I'm not saying I watch football and I work and I do these things. But don't make them your God. Or here's a big one, church, and you need to hear it. Christian ease, Christian works. Be careful. Still, you can't replace worship of God with nothing. And I've learned, like last night when I got up, and I always do this now, I worship God. I tell Him how beautiful He is, how lovely He is. I adore Him. I said, Lord, there's nothing like You. I could just be here in this little cabin the rest of my life and nobody know my name and just worship You and be happy. But I tell you, I'm telling you something I'm finding. He responds. Oh, matter of fact, it scares me how He responds. And I thought, ooh, Lord, Lord, Lord. You know? Sometimes we ask for too much, but if we'd worship, I think God would just lavish it on us. You know, look at King David. You know, everyone talks about Solomon. And Solomon fell. But you know what's funny? King David, who was a real lover of God, it said he had piles, like grain piles of silver, for the temple. Like that dude had a lot of money stored up for his son for the temple before Solomon ever came on the scene. I mean, when's the last time you heard of putting out grain piles of silver? Because you got nowhere to store it, so they just got, you know, 40-foot room this size out in the middle of nowhere, solid silver. I'd say you're walking in some kind of blessing. But what did David do? I'll follow hard after my God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Isn't that what David said? Than anywhere else. And look at what God accomplished through that man. He loved God. But we'll have to stop there. I only got done the word love. Praise God. We didn't get to son, but that'll have to be whenever. Oh, and I have the takeaway today. I had to do it again. Now I started. At least one or two of you take it. At least one or two take it so I'd feel good, okay? They're on the back table. Today's takeaway. Get to know God this week. And then I got in large letters, love someone. That's it. Practical way you can know God this week, just show love towards someone. And then I put this scripture, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and whoever loves is born of God and knoweth God. That's why I said get to know God this week, because if you love someone, you're getting to know God. You know? So anyhow, that's it. Praise God. If you need prayer, we're always open for prayer. I do want to pray quick, though, before we go. Because I noticed something in the Bible that keeps, when something keeps popping up in front of me because the Spirit of God is alerting me to it. And Jesus always taught the people, but I noticed there was lots of times when he first cast out devils, and then they understood his teaching. And I noticed this 3 or 4 places, and I thought, Lord, that's interesting. Why is that? And I felt in my heart that he said the enemy's number one goal is deception on people's minds. So they can't hear right. He blocks their understanding. So it's like, I just don't get that. So I really felt the Lord said, you pray that people, that understanding would be open. So it'd be easy for them to receive, because when it's easy to receive, it's easy to believe. You see? So I want to pray that. And if you agree with me, great. If not, you're a super Christian that don't need it, praise God. Just go along with it and don't worry about it. Now, Father, I thank you that you said we have power over unclean spirits and spirits of deception. And Father, we want to learn more. We want to walk in the depths of your love that goes beyond our understanding. And Lord, we can't do that without you because it's beyond our understanding. So Father, right now, those spiritual forces that would try to distract or dampen our understanding, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Be gone. And Father, I thank you that everyone in the sound of my voice would receive supernatural revelation to walk in the beyond the understanding love that you destined for us for this day. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.